You are tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more.
Sponsored in part by 29 Brew Pub and Wood-Fired Pizza, and To Die For Cupcakes.
Now your hosts, Sam Dunham, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, and Josh Harrison.
Hey, you're listening to the Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that covers everything from the Alliance to Zul'jin the Troll. I'm Josh.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Cody.
We have a great show for you this week. A lot of news to go over, as usual. But first, let's do some stuff we've been checking out. And I'll tell you right now, I haven't checked out anything. I've been busy with car problems, which no one wants to hear about.
Getting that one out of the gate right now.
That's right. Right out of the gate.
You basically did a not it right out of the gate.
Exactly.
I haven't really been doing a whole lot either. I finished King's Quest, and it still is great, and I got to write a review. So, you know, opinions on that forthcoming. I played a little bit of Splatoon because the new update dropped last night, and I got a couple rounds in.
I heard it was a pretty big update.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Yeah, 40 new gear items, new weapons. Well, they did two new weapons, but you know there's more coming.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Because they like to
They release a weapon like every like 2 days.
Yeah, but the two that they release are new kinds that weren't in the game before. One of them is just a bucket.
That throws paint.
Yeah, that throws paint. And it is a pain in the butt. Like, I guess because it's new, I don't know how to deal with it in game, but I was just getting destroyed by this freaking bucket. And the other one's a Gatling gun called the Splatling gun, which I bought, but I haven't used in game yet. Mm-hmm. It works kind of like a charger where you have to charge it up, but after you fire it, it shoots for a good, you know, couple seconds of ink everywhere.
Oh, that's cool.
It's kind of weird. Like, when I play shooter games, a lot of times I fall back on, like, the miniguns.
Yeah, me too. I was always heavy weapons guy in Team Fortress.
Oh, I know, right?
Which is basically what this gun is. I mean, you can keep the barrel spinning like the heavy weapons guy gun.
Do you walk slower with it?
Yeah, a lot slower.
Okay. They raised the level cap too, right?
Yeah, it went from 20 to 50, which is a huge bump.
Jeez!
Yeah, a lot bigger than I thought, which doesn't affect me because I'm level 15. Samantha, though, is level 20.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She squids better than you.
Yeah. Well, she plays it during the day.
And your work?
Yeah, while I'm at work. And that's when the kids play, I'm guessing. Is
Oh, so you're saying she's not good? She's just playing against kids.
Oh, she's good, too. But you're going to win more often and get more points when you're playing against children.
Yeah.
But it's cool. I'm excited to spend more time with it.
I'm glad. I'm glad they're keeping it fresh to keep people wanting to play.
They've done a really good job keeping it interesting. Normally, like, a Nintendo game like this, you know, however many months later it is, I probably would have lost interest and moved on to something else. But I'm still playing it, which says something.
I'm glad that it's free updates.
Yeah.
It's not DLC.
I think they, like, saw how much the collective world, I should say, or just the internet as a whole, hates, like, the pay DLC, like, racket.
I've seen people on the internet complaining that a lot of the content was already on the disc, and it's like, so? You're not paying for it.
This is true.
Yeah.
They're just trickling it out to keep you interested and keep people talking about the game, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And I would prefer that instead of them just dumping it all out at once and saying, go nuts, because it'll get old.
Because everyone will hit that top level and have all the best gear and whatnot, and then it's a ghost town.
Yeah.
Like every other game out there.
Nintendo apparently paid a lot of attention to how online communities work and for these games and figured out the best way to do it. And it works.
I do love the fact that they are giving so much love to this IP.
Yeah. Well, it was a huge hit for them.
They're really trying, yeah.
It's already sold like over 1 million copies, which for a Wii U game, that's really good.
It's more squids to pop.
Yeah. I watched like the first 45 minutes of a documentary about Star Wars toys. It's on Hulu the other day. It was a Plastic Galaxy.
Okay.
It was interesting when they would talk about Kenner and the business of it and the design of the figures. But other than that, it's a bunch of weirdo white guys talking about their Star Wars toys. This one is really important to me because of this boring story I'm going to tell you about when I was a kid. And then, like, just like, no. No, it's not entertaining.
It's not necessarily entertaining, but it's important to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not important to me, so I don't care.
I mean, shoot, I'm a toy collector, and I don't talk about my toys at all.
Yeah.
Because it's boring to other people, you know?
Yeah, there's a guy I work with. I talk to sometimes. He collects Star Wars Black is like his crack. And we'll sometimes have little conversations about stuff, especially when like Comic-Con was happening and they were revealing all the new stuff and whatnot. If you can find like-minded people, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I mean, I like Star Wars toys, but I don't like weirdos telling me about something not important. I wish I could think of a good anecdote from it, but I've blocked it out.
Did you ever remember MTV had that real life show?
The True Life?
Your True Life, whatever. Yeah. They had one. It was like, I'm embarrassed by my parents or something. And I remember the one kid there, he's not really a kid, he was older, late teen, pre-adult, whatever. His dad was huge Star Wars fan. Made, like, little fan movies and stuff and had, like, a room, like, dedicated to, like, his Star Wars collection. And he would, like, show it to his friends and he would be so embarrassed. But by the end of their segment or whatever, they went to a convention together and met up with the 501st and actually kind of had a bonding moment about, like, cosplay and the fandom as a whole. It was interesting. I think the only reason I really remember it is because of Star Wars. Honestly,
a lot of them was like they'll tell this personal story and be like, isn't that funny? And it's like, no, that was kind of sad actually.
Wah wah.
Yeah.
Way to be Debbie Downers. And I did a couple things. I've been watching the new season of Rick and Morty. Morty.
Yeah, I've been watching that too. I'm more than caught up.
I know. But I've been watching as they come out rather than finding the leaks. But so far I'm enjoying it of the two episodes they've had. First episode was great.
Yeah, the first one was really good. The second one I thought was just okay.
The first one like leaves off like right where their first season left off. Or picks up right where the first season left off with the world still frozen in time.
Okay.
With them fixing the house from the Rick house party.
They did the Rick dance.
Yeah. That song has been stuck in my head.
It's the
Rick dance. But yeah, it's still towing the line of like it did before, where it's pretty offensive at times or just dark.
Yeah.
You know, in the first one you had like the alien or entity or whatever that could see time or whatever.
It's always really good sci-fi stuff too.
Oh, I know, right?
Like they could be lazy and just have dumb gags, but there's actually some decent sci-fi writing, like Futurama has.
Yeah, I mean, like,
or had.
They're actually like this season particularly, they seem to be showing you a greater galactic community with the way, especially with the second episode.
Is the second one the one with the Jerry daycare?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jerry Baree.
Yeah, Jerry Baree. It's where all the universe's Ricks take all the universe's Jerrys when they end up going on when Jerry sneaks his way into an adventure, they drop him off at Jerry Baree.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, because other Ricks have told our Rick that Jerrys don't survive more than 5 minutes off Earth. And it's so stupid, dude. Like, it's like the nurse, Elaine, is like really patronizing. Oh, look at you. You're a handsome boy. Did you come here in a spaceship? and the area where all the Jerrys are, there's like a ball pit. There's a slide that looks like Summer. There's a costume mascot that looks like Beth.
Yeah.
Hey, Jerry. Hey, Beth. Who wants to watch Midnight Run with the director's commentary? The first one there gets to adjust the picture setting. The factory settings are always too high. And they all go running. There's a group of Jerrys that live there because their Ricks and Mortys never came to pick them up.
Yeah.
But they don't leave because they're Jerrys.
Oh, yeah.
There's one guy, I can't remember his name, but he's not a Jerry. He's from a parallel dimension where Beth remarries. But he tells Rick, he's like, I don't overstep my bounds with Morty. A son needs his father, but I'm there for when he needs me. Like, the Jerry subplot was actually really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it was dumb, but it was interesting.
Like, he leaves, too. Like,
yeah,
for,
yeah.
He's like, I'm leaving. And the nurse is like, okay, fine. Like, it's that not was always prison. Yeah.
That was always allowed. Because yeah. He was talking to the other Jerrys about escaping. He's like, we can leave whenever we want, but we stay because we're Jerrys.
Yeah. He gives that in the real world, and it's too scary.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like all these aliens and, like, monsters. I think there's a Cronenberg at some point. He just can't handle it, and he comes back. And, like, when he comes back, all the other Jerrys are, like, messing with TVs. Like, they're trying to get the stereo to go through, like, the sound to go through a stereo rather than the TV. And, like, they're all doing it on different TVs.
Jeez.
And they're like, are you the one that left? And he's like, yeah. But then, like, the Rick and Morty subplot was all about the morality of Rick sells a gun to a hitman.
Kerbopulous Michael.
Yeah.
His name.
Yep. Kerbopulous Michael. And he's so upbeat.
Yeah. I'm Kerbopulous Michael. Your grandpa sells me guns that I used to kill people.
I love killing. If you ever need anybody killed, old people, children, pets, I have no morality. I just love killing. And he hands him like a business card. It has like his Twitter handle and stuff on it. And it's like him like giving like a thumbs up, or about as much a thumbs up as a bug guy can do.
That's
he looks a lot like the bug.
That was me. Sorry, I can't put my phone on silent anymore.
Why? It just vibrates weird.
Well, no, it just doesn't do anything. The switch does nothing.
Oh, wow.
More updates on my haunted phone.
But he looks like the bug people from the first episode of Rick and Morty from the first season when they went through the space airport.
They're robots, Morty.
Shoot him! It's okay to shoot him. They're robots. Ah, my leg. Oh, what about his wife and kids? You said they were robots. It was a metaphor.
They're bureaucrats, Morty. I don't respect them.
I need to get caught up on Rick and Morty. You know, I watched the whole first season. I got to get caught up on this.
Like I said, it's only two episodes in. It's real easy to.
Well, good.
Three if you're a filthy pirate.
But no, I mean, and it's all about Morty. Says screw. Oh, the whole reason that Rick sold K. Michael,
yeah, it was like Kerbopulous Michael.
Yeah, it was like his hashtag. Or his hashtag was like K. Michael kills. But the reason he sold the gun to the hitman was to get enough money, space monies, to go to an arcade.
Oh yeah,
Blips and chips.
Yeah,
it's basically like a Dave and Buster's in space.
Oh, that's great.
There's a Meeseeks in the background.
Oh yeah,
showing a guy how to get like a top score in a video game, and then like the guy like starts cheering, and then the Meeseeks disappears because he filled his purpose.
Nice.
I still think Meeseeks and Destroy is like my favorite episode.
Yeah,
that's really a really good episode.
If you haven't seen Rick and Morty, and you what best how to describe it?
And you're not easily offended, and not a child.
If you're not easily offended, give it a shot. It's a quality animated show. I mean, when you really get down to the grim of it.
It's the best thing that Adult Swim has had since, like, their original lineup of, like, Aqua Teen and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's old school Adult Swim greatness.
Yeah.
Which really is ending. Aqua Teen is ending. This is their last season.
Really?
Yeah, and it's really funny because this arc is called Aqua Teen Hunger Force Forever.
I thought Aqua Teen Hunger Force ended years ago.
No, it's not. I kept thinking that too, but no.
Yeah, this is their final season.
Huh.
Other things I've checked out, in fact, I've got on a rant about this, was a game called Dirty Bomb.
I've heard about this game.
Yeah, it's a team-based, class-based, it's a lot like Team Fortress 2. You have different characters that have different skills of what they do.
And the title's real edgy.
Well, you're in a irradiated London, England in the future. After, like, a dirty bomb attack, basically there are mercenaries that you complete tasks and get paid for them. Like blowing up this thing or stealing this thing. And another team of mercenaries is trying to stop you. Not as much fun as fighting over gravel pits, but the map designs are interesting. The classes are kind of interesting. Everybody has, like, a special ability they can activate. There's, like, one guy, his name's, like, Rhino or something, and he runs around the shotgun unless you hit your special button, and then you pull out a minigun.
And we've established we both really like miniguns.
Oh, yeah. and I've racked up amazing kills with it. It's a lot like Team Fortress. I mean, there's a guy that spawns turrets, though you can't seem to make them any stronger.
Huh.
But there are, you can get cards from lockboxes that you get assigned to you, and that allows you to get different loadouts for the different characters. But to unlock different characters, you have to either wait to like a free character weekend or whatever, or purchase them with either money or in-game currency. So that part kind of, yeah, that part kind of sucks.
I got to make money somewhere, though.
Yeah, I mean, it is a free-to-play game, but it's different. I won't say it's like the greatest shooter I've ever played, but it's fun. If you got a good team that works really well together, it's really easy to really roll face. There's a guy that's basically a ninja. He can turn invisible, has a big sword, doesn't really shoot people.
Especially because he has a sword.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a gun blade.
Yeah, it's not a gun blade. Though I wish it was sometimes. But yeah, that's really all I've really done.
Well, somebody better have done something because we still got 10 minutes.
You know, we can actually roll into a little bit of news here. You know what? Something I could talk about real quick. Mighty No. 9.
Oh, that here Kickstarter. We go.
Yeah, here we go. Well, it's been almost, what, 2 years?
Close. Has it been that long?
It might have been. Maybe a year and a half. Keiji Inafune, the guy who created Mega Man and, Mega Man.
and Mega Man Legends.
Yeah. He tried to kickstart a game that was like a spiritual kind of like
successor to Mega Man
called Mighty No. 9.
It's almost a Mega Man ripoff.
It really kind of is.
Although you can't really call it, well, he didn't actually create Mega Man as much as he was really important in the creation of it. But.
Right. Yeah. But anyway, he kickstarted this game and it did phenomenally well. I mean, everyone backed it. Shoot, I backed it.
Yeah, it was one of the better, the highest. It probably was the highest
at the time.
At the time, now it's been beaten by either Shinmue or that Castlevania one.
Yeah, I think it was. I think Shinmue is like it's way up there.
It's been killing the Kickstarter.
Yeah. Anyway, they've been slowly trickling out, you know, updates here and there. This, you know, this and that about, you know. Character design and level design, and you know, we look at us, we keep working on this stuff. Well,
developer diaries.
Yeah, basically. And it was supposed to be released
September something, at 18th,
something like that. Yeah. Well, I received a backer notice the other day saying that the game has been pushed back again, because it's been pushed back before, to first quarter 2016, which quarter, about how far does that go? Is that like the first four months? So somewhere along there. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a big pushback. And they said it was because of bugs, but that's a lot. That's a long time to bust bugs.
Yeah, that's got to be one huge bug. And I heard it's not even with the core, if what they said is to be believed. The bug isn't even in the core gameplay. It's in their online, like, multiplayer online.
Why does it even have online multiplayer? Who
I don't
wanted
know.
That?
Someone did.
Stretch goal.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, making what's important for your game and not getting too many extraneous stretch goals that nobody really wants.
Yeah, and I'm just so been out of shape about this, you know? Cause,
well, yeah, it affects you personally.
Yeah,
it just keeps, they just keep pushing it back further and further, and, you know, the gameplay, like, demos that I've seen online don't quite look like the concept art. It's not as polished as the backers were originally led to believe it would be.
It just doesn't look that good.
It doesn't.
To be brutally honest, it doesn't look that good.
And Inafune's been doing some weird stuff with Kickstarter lately, because he had that other game that he was going to, out of nowhere, tried to kickstart a second game while the first game he had done wasn't even out yet, called Red Ash.
And I forget if we talked about that on the show or not.
We may have mentioned it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was like a Mega Man Legends style game, basically. And 2 weeks into that Kickstarter, it was picked up by a publisher, which I guess he had been working, trying to get well before the Kickstarter. So what was the point? What was the point of the Kickstarter?
Money.
Money, or to get the news out there, or the name out there, you know.
Yeah, oh yeah, because if you've got this Kickstarter running that has all this money, you can take that to the publisher and say, look, you know, you're guaranteed at least this much.
Yeah, true, but shouldn't you wait until your first game is done?
Oh, well, yeah.
If your first game stinks, then no.
true.
I don't know, it's
And that,
it is a little
that
weird.
That publisher that picked it up, that Chinese company is like Fuse Entertainment or something, they are real shady and weird.
Yeah.
If you go to their website, it looks like they're making a new game console, and there's a bunch of pictures of other consoles like and stuff about them being bad. Like, it, but this game is supposed to be on those consoles, so what is going on?
I do not know. It's just, it's really soured me. When Kickstarter was first a thing, I was huge into it. You know, I kickstarted this and that, you know, because it was great. But I've really soured on the whole model for, like, funding things. You know, I kickstarted a bunch of stuff, and I've yet to see, like, hardly any of the stuff.
Yeah, any of the product.
Yeah, I mean, this game, haven't seen. Manos, the Hands of Fate, the restoration, they found an old film reel, and they were restoring it. That's been a couple of years. Still not out yet. Although, October, they say. That was picked up by Synapse film distributors. And October. So, at least something like that will come eventually. But, like, and then that Super Retro Squad
game.
I got ripped off.
Everybody got ripped
off.
Luckily,
I only put $5 into it. So, I didn't get ripped off that bad. But everyone who backed that one. Long story short on that one. A guy tried to make a game. He made a Flash game.
It was really popular.
Really popular.
Super Mario crossover.
A lot of fun. Spent a lot of time playing it. He wanted to make a game that he could make money off of using the engine that he built for Super Mario crossover as a kind of a homage to classic games. Made all this money, hired a team. They all moved into the same apartment and frittered away all the money and didn't work on the game.
And they had to cancel the game and nobody got anything.
Yeah. Although he is working on something very similar now. He's actually given all of his assets to another developer and said that anyone who purchased the game prior will get this when it's done. So the main guy's not even involved in it anymore.
That's better.
Which is probably for the best. But yeah, man, Kickstarter, I'm just real, and this, especially this Mighty No. 9 thing,
the idea behind Kickstarter, I think, is good.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Initially. But now it feels like people are maybe abusing it, and I think it's souring the collective opinion of, like, Kickstarter.
It's like, did you wonder why big publishers didn't give these people money? Now you know why.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's like, I've seen a lot of things with the Kickstarter, you know, the Mighty No. 9 thing, the Manos Hand of Fate stuff. There's one company out there on Kickstarter, it's kind of a weird story. They make wooden dice towers.
Okay.
And they already have their product, and you can buy their product. But the whole point of their Kickstarter was not to make the product, but to expand the product with different woods and all kinds of things. It's very, like, expensive artisan stuff.
They just need some capital.
Yeah, basically.
And, you know, that's okay.
Yeah.
As long as they release their product
in a
timely fashion.
And they do. I've read a lot of stories where people who put in the money, like I said, it is expensive. I mean, they're handmade and carved and really pretty, but a little rich for my blood. but it's companies like that using it to expand their existing product versus trying to make a new product, which I think is maybe easier because you're already established in what you're doing. Versus trying to make something from the ground up.
Right. And, you know, stuff like webcomics or comic books on Kickstarter works because I've seen a lot of them where, like, again, like you said with the dice towers, the product was already made. It was
just want to put it in a book or something.
Yeah, well, they just want to get the money to print, like, the art is already done, the story's done, they just want to print the books, or, like, they want to they've printed the books, they just want to recoup their losses.
Yeah.
Something that's already done and can be shipped out almost immediately.
Yeah.
That works.
I've noticed a lot of webcomics and stuff have gone to a printed media.
Yeah. Well, Chris Straub, who does Broodhollow most recently, he's been using Kickstarter for every volume of the book.
Yeah, every time he finishes a volume, he makes a book through Kickstarter.
Yeah, and it always works out great. I mean, I haven't picked up any personally, but
Broodhollow is one of those. I read it a lot at the beginning, and I keep meaning to sit down and catch up, but I never do.
It's kind of in a holding pattern at the moment. I don't know.
Apparently, he's been dealing with a lot of depression lately, so.
I've noticed that a lot with various web artists.
Like, it, I mean, it happens. Creative people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can't ever judge anybody's battle because you can't see it.
Yeah.
How do we go from Kickstarter to depression?
Man.
I don't know.
I think we're heading in a downward spiral.
The thing
spiral.
With the game developer Kickstarters, though, is like, making games takes a long time, especially if you've got nothing to show for it from the beginning. If you're working off of concept art, yeah. The game development is really, really, takes really, really long, and it's really, really hard.
But, I mean, someone like Inafune should know. He should have known that it was going to take this long.
Yeah. Oh, you know?
Yeah, it's not his first rodeo.
Yeah.
Far from it.
Yeah.
How many Mega Man games are there?
Oh, 12?
No.
11?
No. Let's see here.
I'm just talking about the core.
Oh, okay.
Which, why didn't he just make an 8-bit throwback game?
And people would have loved that.
Yeah, he could have just did that. It would have already been done. It would have been good.
It'd be out.
Yeah, it'd be like Shovel Knight.
Yeah.
Which is great. There you go. If you want a new, you know, Mega Man style game, just get Shovel Knight.
You know, Shovel Knight was one of the few Kickstarter games. I didn't back it when it came out, but it was one of the few that have really kind of worked.
Yeah.
Right?
And that was super popular.
Yeah, that was probably my game of the year last year was Shovel Knight, which is really saying something for an 8-bit, indie game like that. Or it just says how bad video games were last year.
I think it's a little bit of A and a little bit of B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've also noticed a lot more people are playing indie games. More people are bending that way.
They're more widely available. I mean,
true.
Yeah.
With like the digital storefronts on major consoles.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, back in the Super Nintendo days, I mean, if you were an indie game, you would have to spend the money to print a cart, and because you couldn't just, you know, bloop and download it to your system.
No. Yeah.
You probably made a weird PC game. It's all you really could do.
Yeah, and back then, I mean, PC games weren't as prevalent as they are today with, like,
Steam
and
stuff.
Well,
also, back then, computers were extremely expensive.
Well, that too.
I mean, the technology...
Indie games used to be something that you gave away for free, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Because I used to do that article series, hey, you should play this, that spotlighted a free indie game, and now I can't do it anymore because no indie games are free.
Right, yeah.
Very few.
Yeah.
But anyway, this Kickstarter thing, I'm just, I'm burnt. I'm burnt out. I'm not going to back anything anymore for the time being.
You got to be really careful about what you're backing anymore.
Yeah, that's the pitfall with Kickstarter, because if it doesn't happen, you don't get your money back.
Don't think of it as buying a product. Think of it as investing in a company.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is.
It's like Shark Tank on the internet.
Yeah.
But with Inafune's, what is this company's name? It's like
Concept or something.
Concept. It seemed like a legit
deal. Oh, yeah.
Deal.
There's he's got no excuse for this.
No. You hear that, Mr. Inafune? Inafune-san? No excuses.
You have dishonored your fans. You have failed this internet.
All right. Let's take a break.
29 Brew Pub and To Die For Cupcakes is a supporter of local radio programs like Nerd Overload. 29 Brew Pub offers wood-fired pizzas and sandwiches, craft beers and local liquors, and To Die For's gourmet cupcakes. They also host a local bike night every Thursday. 29 Brew Pub and To Die For Cupcakes, 1692 Marion Mount Gilead Road, right in front of Office Depot, 740-751-4586, and also on Facebook.
And now all I'm thinking about is Danny DeVito and Always Sunny about
his
ham.
Rum ham.
We're back. You're listening to Nerd Overload. That was Three Doors Down Kryptonite. We've been talking about ham.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, I can eat a whole bunch of ham. just a pound of it.
I'm just imagining just eating like a whole ham.
Like a whole ham.
Oh, I picture like an apple, like you're just eating it on your shirt.
Take a big mouthful of ham. Big hot mouthful of ham.
All right. Well, believe it or not, we do have some news to talk about here.
Not ham related.
Unfortunately. There's a little bit of news come out about the Batman Superman movie again,
what?
As usual.
We're talking about Batman Superman movie.
Yeah, take a drink. We're talking about Batman Superman.
Maybe we'll get into Ghostbusters after this.
Yeah, right. But anyway, when they were doing some early filming, there was an actor named Scoot McNeary who was found on set, and he was wearing like green like shoes and like leggings that looked like green screen, and everyone was wondering who the heck is this actor. portraying. Some thought it was the Flash and that they were going to CG his like running legs in or something like that. I had the theory that it was Jimmy Olsen and that the reason why he had green screen on his legs is that he had an accident during the climax of Man of Steel, which caused him to lose his legs.
Which we did talk about.
We did talk about. If you remember, go back in our, I don't know the episode, but go back. We did talk about it. And guess what? Guess who was right?
Sam.
Me. This guy. This guy was right. Right here. I'm pointing to myself. Scoob McNairy is playing Jimmy Olsen, the legless wonder, Superman best pal in Batman vs. Superman.
Here's where a banner comes down that says, called it, and then the balloons fall from the ceiling.
Exactly. But what do you think about this? I mean, it's Superman's best pal, best buddy, who is now super sad and depressed and crippled because of the direct actions of Superman.
Yeah, Superman's best pal who loses his legs because Superman.
It's a gamble. It's really rocking the boat of, trying to, not canon, but...
continuity? No.
No.
Just
convention.
Yeah, it's bucking convention. Yeah.
That's a nice way of saying that it sucks.
Yeah. I mean, in every interpretation of Superman, there's always Jimmy Olsen, Superman's biggest fan and best buddy. All the time. Superman can never do any wrong. Except for those weird times where Jimmy Olsen killed Clark Kent and stuff like that. But not really. It'd be weird because I really see Jimmy Olsen losing his legs being extremely salty about this super alien.
Yeah. How is he going to be his best pal when, you know,
he hates his guts?
Yeah. I don't know. I think this is just another example of the DC movies making things dark and gritty for the sake of being dark and gritty.
Yeah.
To give the veneer of maturity. And it's not mature. It's just dumb.
They could do it with a character who wasn't Jimmy Olsen.
Well, like, sure. Jimmy Olsen is a chance for us. Comic relief kind of character. Like, there could be a funny, excited guy with Superman.
But you're not allowed in the new DCU.
No, we gotta take his legs away.
And does anyone remember in Man of Steel that, this just dawned on me, that in Man of Steel, Perry White, Lawrence Fishburne's assistant, was Jenny Olsen. I was under the impression that they are originally going to gender swap Jimmy. Oh. And his assistant had like a not insignificant part during the destruction. She like saved a bunch of people's lives during it.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be our version, this movie line's version of Jimmy Olsen, and I was cool with that. But instead, no.
We're getting
it gets retconned. We get Jimmy no legs. I don't like it.
Like their brother and sister, and both work at the Daily Planet.
Yeah.
And
the only way we can spin this around is if Lex Luthor gives Jimmy Olsen some sort of crazy growth hormone, like based on turtles, that grow his legs back, but also turn him into the Golden Age or the Silver Age Jimmy Olsen, a giant turtle boy.
Giant turtle boy.
Have you ever seen Giant Turtle Boy?
No.
Oh man, you're in for a treat. That is Giant Turtle Boy.
Oh wow.
Oh, Giant Turtle Man, sorry.
No, he's a man. Yeah. He's not a boy, he's a man.
Yeah.
He could sign up for his own subscription.
Yeah.
He's Jimmy Olsen, Turtle Man.
He's a scaly, red-headed boy.
Yeah, it's like a big turtle guy with like a human face, human head, and like weird bug eyes.
And surprisingly, no shell.
Yeah, for being a turtle.
Yeah, it's more like Lizard Man.
Yeah.
No. Marvel's got that. Marvel's got that one pegged.
But no, just another reason why I really just don't. I'm not feeling this. I'm not feeling Batman versus Superman. I'm going to give it a shot. I'll go see it opening weekend.
As we always say, we will watch it.
But
But it looks like a pile of hot garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing seems to be. Seriously, the only positive thing I've seen come out of any of this is I like the way Batman looks.
Yeah. What we'll get out of this is a good Batman movie, because, possibly. I mean, Affleck is going to direct a Batman movie starring Affleck, and, I mean, he's a good director, especially when he's directing himself.
Yeah.
Look at Argo.
I never saw it.
Argo, you need to watch Argo. It is actually really good.
Hmm.
And ties to comic books, because the original story, the pictures, like the pre-production pictures that they used to make the fake movie were Jack Kirby drawings for a proposed movie set for like the book series The Lords of Light.
Okay.
That was eventually, the movie sets weren't going to be torn down, they were going to be converted into an amusement park after the filming was done.
Oh.
And Jack Kirby did all of these like really cool, like super spacey, like, well, Kirby art, basically. looks like the New Gods from DC or Asgard from Marvel. And they use those production images and stuff as the fake movie Argo.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really interesting. And there's a cameo by a guy. They never name him in the movie, but he's supposed to be Jack Kirby.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just don't get the appeal of Superman v. Batman at this point at all. It doesn't appeal to me in the slightest.
For me, I think it's more the... I don't want to see it because I think it'll be good or I'll enjoy it. I'm getting to the point now where I'm confused and want answers.
Yeah. Which, I mean, maybe that's what they're going for. You know, maybe they want people confused enough that they'll have to go to the movie opening weekend out of curiosity. Like we've said we will.
Yeah.
Like, I want somebody to explain to me the appeal without using the word badass.
Yeah.
Or Batman.
I don't know if I can say that on the radio, but that's the word that I don't want to see if you explain to me.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I'm in the same boat. I agree.
Because everybody who's ever said they liked it, that's the reason why.
Yeah. It looks so awesome.
Yeah, and it doesn't.
Maybe we're just too jaded.
If you really like gray and black and dreariness.
I like working blacks and light grays.
No, gray and black, that's great for a Batman movie. Batman solo movie.
Yeah. You know, at this point, we're kind of repeating ourselves, you
true.
Know?
But
yeah. It's
something we've said a million times.
Yeah.
Batman Superman news, meh.
Meh. Nah.
But you know what is looking good? Deadpool.
Chimichangas for everyone!
It looks so good.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yep, they released two trailers this week. A trailer to announce the trailer, and then the next day, like the full 2.5 minutes. A green band and a red band.
Okay, I've never seen the green band.
Don't watch the green band. It's like, it's basically the neutered version of the red band.
Yeah. It looks great. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. It looks
like a Deadpool movie.
It looks like the character. It sounds like the character. Some people were complaining it's maybe a little too serious at points. I don't think that's the case. They can't have just bouncing off the walls crazy.
I think that was just for the trailer, too.
I think they want to kind of like trick you with this whole thing of, oh, he's kind of serious. Oh, he's dying of cancer. And he's given this new lease on life by Weapon X. But I think it's going to be just like this little thing. And then it's going to be just craziness ensues for like the rest of the movie.
Yeah, they got to ground the first 5 minutes. And then after that, it's going to...
Yeah, get the origin in there. He has cancer.
Yeah. But it looks great. I was surprised. I didn't realize that they had cast someone to play Blind Al.
I didn't either. That, I was like,
Joe Kelly run. Yeah, that was surprising.
Yeah, Blind Owl, Colossus, Weasel,
Negasonic
Teenage Warhead.
Yeah.
Telepathic? Yeah.
Yeah, Telepathic. Gina Carano's in there.
Yeah, oh, she's playing, she's another mutant. She can shapeshift like Mystique. And in the comics, she was blue. Her and Deadpool were a thing. She was like a prostitute.
Sounds like, like Mystique.
Dang it. It's not Mystique, though. It's someone else.
Speaking of lady MMA fighters, did you know that Ronda Rousey is like a huge nerd?
Yeah, I watched...
I have heard about that, yeah.
I watched a clip of her on one of the wrestling events with The Rock, and some woman in the ring slaps The Rock, and he goes out into the crowd, and Ronda Rousey is sitting out there, and he's like, come on. And she's wearing a freaking Dragon Ball Z t-shirt
that
says over 9,000.
There's an red carpet interview with her where she talks about Pokemon.
For like 5 minutes.
Yeah. And like knows her stuff.
Yeah.
It's crazy because she's also a freaking monster.
Oh yeah, she is, yeah.
Beating that poor woman in 34 seconds.
Yeah, oh yeah, mm-hmm. She just brutalizes her. It's insane.
Yeah.
She apparently also plays World of Warcraft too, which is something we will talk about later.
We'll talk about it
probably
in a minute.
Fuels that rage.
Anyway, I found out who you're talking about. It's not Gina Carano playing that.
Okay.
It's Monica Baccarin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who was in Firefly.
Yes.
Plays a character named Copycat.
Yes.
Gina Carano plays a character named Angel Dust, who I think is able to influence emotions.
Yes.
Like,
okay.
Generates like mutant drug power or something like that.
But the Deadpool trailer seems on point.
It does.
It's so on point, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
The fact that possibly the greatest comic book movie we've ever seen is going to come from Fox.
Yeah.
They're almost as bad as DC.
Which is incredibly surprising, given that the most recent Fantastic Four movie, from what I hear, is not very good.
No, all reports are pointing to crap. Yeah. And even crappier than expected crap.
It looked like crap.
Can we say crap one more time?
Crap. Crappity crap.
But it doesn't look good.
But no Deadpool.
But Deadpool, though.
Yeah. And I love the fact they're using the technology to emote his mask.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't look completely hokey.
Make the super suit green.
Or animated.
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, you're leaving? You're going to leave me with the less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
Yeah. And no, it just looks really good. And like the prosthetic on Ryan Reynolds for like the under the mask look. That's really good as well.
I've heard some people say they wanted to look more messed up.
Yeah, I don't think he looked messed up enough.
He's about as messed up as he's going to look because it's Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, yeah, I understand why I think it could have been grosser, but they're not going to do that because it's Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, Colossus looks amazing.
Yeah, I was surprised to see him, and it was really cool. I like
different
Colossus.
Actor. He's completely CG. Well, I'm sure there's still an actor wearing a suit.
And
then
he probably won't be CG in every scene.
No, right? No, but he looks like Colossus.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Also, the fact that it is a superhero movie and it is a quote-unquote Marvel superhero movie, do not take your kids to this movie.
Yeah, this is hard R.
I mean, there are F-bombs and all kinds of things and things you do not want your child to see and or hear.
Yeah, unless you want to desensitize them early. I mean, you know.
I mean,
I'm not a parent. I mean, yeah, you know.
True.
Get them in there early. Get them. You have a lot of fun conversations on the way home from the movie.
What does this mean? It's like when Austin Powers came out, and I heard a kid in the store once ask what Randy meant.
Oh, nice.
It's a name of a person.
You know, Stan's dad.
Yeah.
From South Park. But no, Deadpool. It looks too perfect. I mean, I'm excited, but I'm also a little scared.
Yeah, it looks. Yeah, it almost looks too good.
I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
Oh man! Perfect. Oh, that was perfect.
And we're out.
It looks like I wrote Vandal Sausage.
Nice.
I'd buy it.
Vandal Savage's new Vandal Sausage.
They're timeless.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about Vandal?
Let's go ahead and talk about the news.
About Vandal Savage? I don't even remember.
There's some casting news for the CW Flash and Legend of Tomorrow. Yeah, they cast a Vandal Savage. Give me 2 seconds to pull up the guy's name.
Oh, because it was weird. Casper McGhost.
Swap Benwala.
It was something like that.
Bagel McBite.
McBite. Pete Zerol.
Hot Dogsman.
Hot Dogsman.
There he is.
Casper Crump. That's what
Casper
it was.
Casper Crump.
Yeah. Because we said it sounded like a Harry Potter character.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Ministry of Magic's own Casper Crump.
But I mean, I don't know. He looks like him, I guess. But anyone could really look like Vandal Savage as long as you grow a beard.
Yeah, I know. Kind of want them to put like a forehead prosthetic on there so he still looks kind of more caveman-y.
That would be cool. Yeah.
Because for you people who don't know who Vandal Savage is, he is essentially an immortal caveman from the dawn of time who has lived through the entire length of Earth and is a maniacal...
But he's smarter than a caveman.
Oh,
he's
no, no,
like,
no.
He's...
Yeah.
He's the caveman from that Aqua Teen Hunger Force episode where Frylock accidentally sends that computer back in time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
He's unfrozen caveman dictator.
Yeah. But along with him, they also cast a Kid Flash, a Wally West, for the
season two of Flash.
And it's an actor named Kenan Lonsdale. Kenan Thompson.
No, it's not Kenan Thompson.
Who loves orange soda?
Flash loves orange soda.
But no, this guy is from the movie Insurgent.
Never saw it.
Yeah.
I didn't see
Divergent.
Yeah.
I mean, they're popular. I'm sure somebody will recognize him.
Yeah.
I always thought it was just a Hunger Games knockoff.
It kind of is.
Most are.
From what I understand.
And granted, Hunger Games knocks off Battle Royale, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Hunger Games. I've really enjoyed all of the movies so far. Yeah. I think they, nobody agrees with me on this, but I think they just keep getting better.
And the books just kept getting worse.
That's what I hear. I only read the first book, so.
Mm. But anyway, Kid Flash.
Kid Flash, he looks like the new 52 version of Kid Flash. They changed his race from white to African American, which is fine. They did that with Iris West in the show, and
she's supposed to be his nephew.
He's supposed to be her nephew. Yeah, whatever. So I mean, it makes sense.
I mean,
I'm fine with it.
I'm wondering if they'll actually get to see him flash out.
I'm sure. Well, they're not just going to cast the character and not do anything with it.
Think they'll use that costume though?
Probably not. It'll probably be. No, if they do anything, it'll probably be closer to the
yellow-red one?
Yellow and red one, which, I mean, they could explain that the Reverse Flash's power was in his suit.
True.
Guy takes and modifies the Reverse Flash's suit from Season 1, and that's why it's yellow.
But he disappeared. He Marty McFly'd it.
Well, it's comic books. Anything can happen. Who cares?
They'll find a loophole.
They will.
Nature finds a way.
Yep.
Well, but I'm fine with it.
Oh, I am too. It's going to be fine. I mean,
more awesome characters than The Flash.
I'm for it.
Someday I'll have to watch The Flash.
You will have to watch it. It's really good.
It's a lot better than Arrow.
Well, going from a Flash that is announced to a Flash that might be dying a slow, slow, painful death.
The Flash that won't work with your iPhone.
Yeah.
Adobe Flash.
Adobe Flash is on its way out from what I hear.
If you use Firefox and have been to any website with Flash on it, it automatically deactivates it.
Yeah.
You have to change the settings to get it to work again.
Huh.
Yeah. And it was, I don't know how you guys found out about it, but I know, for me, it was the Homestar Runner cartoon that they did.
That's how I heard about it.
Which is kind of scary because, like, their entire website is all run off Flash.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't want to lose... Like
All that history.
I mean, that was my high school, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That was all our high schools, basically, watching that.
I mean, we used to sit at the comic book shop and watch Strong Bad Emails on DVD.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
I've noticed Homestar Runner is the only Flash cartoon from that time that holds up.
Yeah.
It's still really, really funny.
It is.
Even the old ones. And almost anything else that you liked back in the day, if you look it up now, you'll be like, oh, my God. this is either annoying or stupid.
Yeah, or both.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember Three Brain?
No.
Cartoon.
I remember the Frog in the Blender.
Frog in the Blender, yeah. Dribble in the Microwave. Okay. Yeah, those are stupid.
But Three Brain was like, did songs, like a school bus was one. Okay. Wii. No, nobody remembers that.
Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah, those are just unlistenable, unlistentuable.
Yeah.
They violate my ear sanctity.
Yeah.
I remember that one, what was it, like Gopher or Beaver, where it was just like they would repeat, you know, something about mushroom.
No, that's Mr. Weevil. That's Badger.
Yeah, Badger.
I knew it was some woodland creature like that.
Mushroom, I still like those.
Snake. I love
Weevil. Yeah, Weevil stuff is pretty good.
I don't know. I was never a big Weevil guy, but...
Weevil wobbles, they don't fall down.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, Flash is going away, and I mean... Cody, I know you do a lot with Flash.
Yeah, yeah.
So
all my game making is it. Well, I don't have to use Flash for that, but it's the easiest way to. Used to be the easiest way to get your stuff out there was through Flash, and I guess now I'll have to learn HTML5.
Yeah,
that's what it comes down to. Everybody has to learn HTML5 now, I guess.
Oh man, Newgrounds.com is going to burn to the ground.
Yeah,
yeah. That is kind of.
It's their thing.
It is.
But people have been saying that Flash is dying since the iPhone didn't support it, and it's still here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know maybe it'll become less prolific, but I don't think it's going to die.
I mean, it's one of those updates that always pops up on my computer.
If Adobe would just fix all the security holes it has, it wouldn't be as big of a deal.
Right.
I don't understand why they don't do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's Adobe.
Yeah. Do you see some of these older cartoons being moved over to like YouTube or something like
most
that?
Most of them are on there now anyway.
Yeah.
Even if the creators didn't do it, somebody, you know.
Somebody has. Yeah. Yeah.
Most of the Homestar Runner Ovier is on YouTube.
Yeah.
By them or somebody else.
Right. Not a whole lot of the Strong Bad emails are, though. By them, at least.
Yeah,
but a lot of the Strong Bad emails had, like, little interactive thingies in there.
Yeah, and they can't do that on YouTube.
Yeah.
Well, no.
They can, but it sucks.
Yeah, because they got to upload a separate video, and there has to be a hidden link within the thing to click on.
And they can't really hide them all that well, because that big annotation shows up.
Yeah.
Or just tack them onto the end. That's what they did with the DVDs.
Yeah. Mm. That's what they do on YouTube. Because every time they've released something recently, it's been on YouTube as well as their website.
Right.
I think they recognize the fact that people live on YouTube versus searching out the actual sites.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, a touchstone of the internet culture.
I don't think it's going to die. I think maybe it's just going to be less prolific.
Yeah. Now, if the Windows 10 update, if their new browser doesn't support Flash, then that might be another...
I think it does.
Oh, it does? Okay.
I'm not 100% sure.
I tried to open that new browser. I don't like it.
What is it called? Like
Edge.
The Edge?
Yeah.
The Edge.
Microsoft Edge.
Microsoft and U2 present the Edge.
You open up the browser and it says, hello, hello, hola.
your Windows Media Player automatically has the U2 album on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime it opens, it gives you a countdown from 1, 2 to 14.
Every time you click, a child dies.
Stop clicking!
Oh, man.
We're all kinds of highbrow jokes today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of things that just won't die, Blizzard Activision announced a few...
like 20 minutes ago 20
minutes
as of
ago,
recording this.
As of 20 minutes ago, their new expansion for the massively multiplayer, massively popular...
Fastly... losing subscribers. They lost like a million last year.
They still have a ton, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, World of Warcraft announced their new expansion called World of Warcraft Legion.
Boy, that's
really
boring.
Yeah, they're really running out of ideas over there. If they're
they're going back to their one-word titles as far as their expansions go. And I know you guys aren't real big World of Warcraft people. It was a big chunk of my life for a long time. And I tell you, it seems like a rehash of old ideas. I mean, story-wise, the Burning Legion, an army of intergalactic demons that rage across the universe, are invading the world again.
For a second time.
I always forget that Warcraft is like space stuff.
Some of it,
because it's at the outset, it looks very much like, you know.
Oh, it is definitely
fantasy
a fantasy
stuff, but there are like space.
The one who are the blue demon people?
The Draenei.
They're from space. I love them. They're my favorite race. They're so cool looking.
Yep, they come from Draenor, which was the homeworld of the orcs. Technically, the orcs are aliens, and the orcs made a deal with the Burning Legion and built the Dark Portal and invaded Azeroth, the fantasy-esque Renaissance fair world of humans. And that's how the original game starts.
I'm sorry, I zoned out for a second.
I know. But it just seems like they're rehashing old ideas. The demons are invading again. Woohoo. I mean, they're raising the level cap from 100 to 110.
Oh boy,
had
10 more levels.
Yeah, 10 whole levels.
Well, I'll tell you, those 10 levels, they're rough to get through at the high level point.
Oh, somebody will do it the day it comes out.
Oh yeah, it always happens. It's generally a kid in another country.
Yeah.
I remember, I think it was when Wrath of the Lich King came out, and that was when I was still real hard into playing it, like, religiously. But somebody, I think a kid in France, had to be hospitalized.
Oh my god!
Wow.
For trying to be the first person to reach the level cap.
Did he make it?
Yeah, but then he was hospitalized.
Then it was totally worth it.
I mean, when you first get in there, there's like, in your playing, there's all these world-first achievements and stuff that pops up for everyone. But
he's got wow-itis. They got him on an IV of Mountain Dew.
Anyway, let's see. We're
teaching him to use the toilet again.
It's a healing process.
Wow.
A 110 level cap. They're releasing a new class, which would be the first time they've done that in the last couple of... Well, No.
Yeah, I can't believe they've done so many expansions without new classes. That's usually the first thing you do when you do an expansion pack.
Yeah, there's no new race. It's a new class. Demon Hunter. Mm. Which, in the lore, the big famous Demon Hunter was Illidan Stormrage, who was the end game boss in the first expansion of the Burning Crusade.
Because they're rehashing the Burning
Exactly.
Crusade. What does the Demon Hunter do, though? Do they have, like, arrows? Or...
No, he's got a... They're blind.
Huh.
They're blind.
And... So when you play, the screen's completely black?
Yep.
No, I think it's like Daredevil. You get little,
so it's red.
You get pain. But no, you got these weird arm glaives. Like, oh. Big blades on your hands.
So that's different from, like, a fighter how?
I don't know. It looks like they might be tapping into the later lore where Illidan made a deal with demons to get demon power to be able to fight demons better. Kind of like a blade vampire who fights vampires kind of thing. There's that. There's a bunch of stuff I didn't quite understand in the trailer, like class order build or orders or whatever. So basically you go to a building and hang out with a bunch of other fighters, mages, paladins.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. It's like, okay,
it's
great.
Like if you're a plumber and you had a
plumber's
place
association.
To go, yeah, to talk to other plumbers. It's a union.
It's a union hall.
Yeah.
It's a union hall.
Nice.
Gnome Rogue, you local 104.
Yeah, Rogue's local 104.
Nice.
I got real burned. I haven't played any of the last expansion.
Yeah, last time I played World of Warcraft was pre-Cataclysm.
So Wrath of the Lich King.
Yeah, and I don't even think I had that expansion.
I have not played the Warlords of Draenor, where they basically use the time travel story arc to stop the orcs from making deals with demons.
Morty! Morty, we gotta go back in time! We gotta go back to the future of the orcs!
Morty! And then the last expansion I played was Mist of Pandaria, which was the
Kung Fu Panda expansion,
as they call it, even though they were in the lore long before Kung Fu Panda.
Like, as a joke, though, weren't they kind of a joke character before?
Not really, because there was in the original, in Warcraft 3, the last strategy game for Warcraft that Blizzard made.
Probably the last strategy game they'll make.
Warcraft. StarCraft. The StarCraft stuff. There was a character named Chen Stormstout, who was a Pandarian brewmaster, and he was a kung fu master who liked to make beer and drink it. I mean, it was 2 seconds in the game.
kind of a joke.
Sort of. He wasn't really that funny of a character. He was more interesting than anything. But yeah, I mean, and then Miss Pandaria, you got to see the panda homeland in the middle of the ocean. Anyway,
I wish they'd make a StarCraft MMO. I'd play that.
They talked about it like a long time ago.
I like space stuff.
They were going to call it like I don't know if it was going to be like the stars of StarCraft or something like that. But they were supposed to.
They should have.
There were a bunch of games they were supposed to make that never got made.
Yeah.
Like StarCraft Ghosts.
Or that Warcraft adventure game.
I don't remember hearing about that.
Oh yeah, there was a Warcraft point and click adventure game that they were making that they never finished.
Oh yes, now I remember. Yeah, that one, that was an old one.
Yeah.
That was,
I think it was based on a Warcraft.
It was based
Adventures.
On a. It was, yeah, they were going to make it, and then it eventually, when it got scrapped, they printed it in a book as a novel, which I have that novel. Anyway, World of Warcraft expansion, same old crap.
If you're into it, you're going to be real excited. If you don't care, you're still not going to care.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Sounds like it.
I mean, I've been burned out. I like Blizzard. They're a good company. They've made some great games over the years.
Yeah. I love Blizzard too, but I don't give a crap about Warcraft anymore.
No, I mean, it consumed much of my life, and now I've reached the point now where anytime I play it, it's the same old, and I just get bored so quick.
Yeah, it's like you get excited, and you play a while, and all of a sudden it dawns on you, why am I doing this again?
Every time I hit the level cap.
Why am I putting myself through this?
Well, you know, we do appreciate you putting yourself through listening to this show this week.
Good job. You made it. We're at the end.
You made it. Again, you've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you for listening. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverloadwebsite.
You can send us tweets at nerd_overload or send us an email. Tell me why you think, you know, Batman v Superman is not garbage.
Yeah.
At staff@nerdoverload.com.
Yeah, we want to hear about that.
So, yeah, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next week.
Thanks for listening.
Pizza out.
This show was sponsored in part by 29 Brew Pub and Wood Fired Pizza and To Die For Cupcakes.